Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Forgotten Conservative. It is Wednesday, August 23rd. Currently, it is 7:45 in the p.m., which means we are approximately 15 minutes away from the first 2024 Republican debate. I had wanted to record earlier. Things happen, life happens, etc. So I will not belabor that point. I'm going to try and get a few things across. This obviously will not be a full episode. So as I've said before, I still hold true to my prediction that I don't think Trump or Biden will be on the ticket come next November. Nothing's changed to have me change one or both of those parties. It's becoming more evident that Biden will not come to this conclusion on his own, that either the powers that be that hold the strings behind the Democrat Party, i.e. Obama, Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, those types of people, somehow, some way, will end up orchestrating it. Now that this Hunter Biden thing, it just keeps unraveling. And furthermore, if you follow the polls, if you're Googling polls, if one of your arguments for Trump is that look at the polls and Trump's the only one that is right there neck and neck with Biden. If you're arguing that point, or if you're constantly looking at polls or citing polls, shame, shame, shame on you. Okay, first of all, number one, Biden is far and away the worst president in my lifetime. Obama was worse in many ways than Jimmy Carter, but Obama was able to shed the perception. Obama's misery, so to speak, they masqueraded it and propagandized it as the new normal. Manufacturing's gone. It's never coming back. We got to look for new ways to create jobs, the green industry, climate change, global warming, so on and so forth. Biden just flat out sucks. Biden sucks worse than Jimmy Carter. So for anybody to say Trump is neck and neck, or Trump is just ahead of Biden, or anything like that, please understand, please heed these words. Take a step back and think about exactly what you're saying. Now, with that being said, I'm a DeSantis guy, okay? You can make the argument to me that Trump polls better versus Biden than DeSantis is, okay? If you want to make that argument to me, go right ahead. Because back in the old days, they used to say, talk to the hand. That's what I'm going to give you. Because if you really think that Biden is going to be the one on the ticket come next November, please quit listening to whatever media outlets you're listening to, because I can assure you, Biden will not be on the ticket. Trump may be, okay? It's not decided, but Biden will not be the Democrat nominee for president in 2024. So it doesn't matter whether Trump or DeSantis or any of the others are polling above, behind, even with Joe Biden. More than likely, you're going to have Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama. You may have Newsom as the presidential nominee. You may have Obama as the VP. They may leave Biden out there up until the very end, up to, near, or just after the convention. And then all of a sudden something happens And now we have to have an emergency nominee. Look at recent history in the Democrat primaries. Going back at least to 08 with Hillary versus Obama. 2016, Hillary, Sanders, what's the Indian woman, fake Indian woman's name? Elizabeth Warren. Look at 2020 with Biden and Sanders. Okay, the writing is there. If you haven't seen it, it's okay. That's part of what I do. But please understand, you cannot cite Trump numbers versus Biden because it's not, it will not materialize. Okay? Number two, there's a couple of things that I've said on this podcast previously that, you know, if Trump does these things, I will not vote for him. I've never done this in my life. I have heavily criticized people that have left a presidential ballot blank and then voted down ticket in any number of ways. But this is the first time that I've ever considered it. If Trump doesn't do any of these debates, it will take a hell of a lot for me to vote for Trump. You don't inherit, check that, you don't inherit the right to be the nominee. If you are who Trump has always claimed to be, why make this argument that the debates can only hurt you or you're 50 points ahead or anything? If you are who you say you are, get out there, wipe the floor with them, because there's not many of them that can hang with Trump. But you can eliminate half or more of the field within a handful of debates. Now, the first one, I didn't expect him to participate in. That's expected, so I'm giving him a pass tonight. But if he does not participate going forward, there's going to have to be something remarkable to put me back into voting for him if he's the nominee. Number two, I've always said, Reagan said, you don't attack Republicans from the left. Now, it used to be, you don't attack Republicans. You can debate them, you can duke it out on policy and issues, but you don't personally attack Republicans. Trump blew that out of the water, 2016. We all know about it, okay? The argument Trump's a counterpuncher is bullshit. He went after Dr. Ben Nelson. Now, he went after Cruz as well, even though Cruz didn't fire first. But let's leave Cruz out of this particular argument. There was no reason for Trump to go after Dr. Ben Carson. None whatsoever. If he does that horse shit again, then it's done. I'm not voting for him. Another thing, last night, Milwaukee, site of the debate, Trump's surrogates, Trump's campaign staff, which should not be in Milwaukee, or at minimum should not attend the debate and should not be in the green rooms, should not have anything to do with the media after the debate if Trump doesn't have the balls to participate in the debate. That's Ronna McDaniel. Ronna Romney McDaniel, the head of the GOP, who's allowed that bullshit. But nevertheless, Trump's campaign staff, guess who they were spotted in a steakhouse called Rare last night? Left-wing reporters, Dana Bash, CNN, there was CBS News reporters. There was five or six, not quasi-journalists or dubious reporters. These are hard line, progressive Marxist left-wing propagandist reporters, and the Trump team is there paying for their dinners, giving them talking points. And guess what happens today? Dana Bash trashes DeSantis. The CBS reporter, the Washington Post reporter writes a piece of trashing DeSantis. If Trump's 50 points ahead, if Trump has nothing to worry about, why is your campaign staff whining and dining a gaggle of left-wing propagandists? Why? You could see that story in Red State, by the way. That's where I picked up the story. As far as Trump in this legal business, he's in for a battle. Four different indictments, four different jurisdictions. One of the things he needs to do is in Atlanta, if you want to F with them the way they're effing with you, don't post bail. I think it was $200,000. Don't post it. Trump, by his own mouth, has said, another indictment, another raise in the polls. Another indictment, and I have the nomination locked up. Well, first of all, polls don't win elections. Polls didn't win the 2020 election. Polls didn't win the 2022 midterms. Okay? Polls have never, ever, ever won an election. Okay? The polls going into the final weekend in 1980 had Carter barely ahead of Reagan. And that was the first of Reagan's two massive electoral landslides. Don't post bail. Let them figure out how they're going to incarcerate him. Okay? Secret Service, under federal law, has total plenary power over President Trump and what can be done with him, where he can, in a case like this. Federal issues are a little bit different. But the state, put on the state of Georgia, how they're going to house the president, whether they have to shut down an entire wing of the already overpopulated jail, or if the Secret Service says, hey, we want the entire facility cleared and secured. Let do something brash. Do something that really takes some balls. Put the onus back on them. Because we all know it's a bullshit indictment, which pretty much they all are. But Trump, with the indictments, is going to have his hands full. Another thing, why is Trump paying these legal fees out of campaign funds? It's not illegal. He has every right to do it because it's look at it the same way as getting a haircut. You know, that's an example. I didn't choose it because of Trump's hair, but buying a new suit, for instance, getting a haircut, getting a manicure, you know, anything that you do to help promote you as a candidate and your viability is a legal campaign expenditure. So it's not a matter of legality, but he's using campaign contributions for legal funds. I think that's chicken shit to ask people to keep sending in dollars when you're one of the wealthiest men on the face of the earth. The voters, we didn't put you in that position. You put you in that position. That should be coming out of your own coffers. Okay? I think Trump should attend these debates. I think he should take them to the mat on the policies, on their records. There's only one person with a record that can compete with Trump. And DeSantis is that man. Trump as a president was a governor, so to speak, governed. DeSantis, governor of Florida, governed. Florida is one of the largest economies in the world. I forget the rank. I think it's top 20, but don't quote me on it. So there's only one person comparable in governing an economy, jobs, so on and so forth. Ramaswamy is a businessman, but what's his political stance, his policies, his statements, his actions? Does he have any bona fides for being a conservative or Republican activist? That's what Trump should be doing at these debates, is as Reagan used to say, as he said in the 76 speech when Ford won the nomination in a, what are they, contested? That's not right. Convention. But the same thing, it was the same type of situation. Okay, Trump is a former president and demanding or questioning why people have the balls to run against him. Well, guess what? Ford was a sitting president and Reagan ran against him in 76. And outside of a senator in Pennsylvania, and then I think it was somebody from Tennessee that lied to Reagan, Reagan would have been the 76 Republican nominee. But he wasn't. But in that speech, if you ever seen it, you should go back and watch it. It's a remarkable speech. It was all impromptu. He wasn't scheduled to give a speech. But that's where he said, we need to differentiate ourselves. We need to show how and why and where we are different than the enemy, than the other side. I'm paraphrasing. The quote, bold colors, not pale pastel colors. In other words, we show stark differences. Abortion. Now abortion for them, by the vote in the Senate, by Joe Biden's rhetoric, means up to, including, and potentially after birth. It's reasonable to say a 6 to 15 week ban. 16 to 15 weeks after conception should be reasonable. I think in Europe, the longest is 13 to 15 weeks. Make those types of distinctions. Open border versus securing the border. Shutting down worldwide terrorism. Shutting down Iran. Shutting down Putin. Restoring confidence in Taiwan. Doing what we can to end this war in Ukraine. Support Ukraine. But show stark differences. That's what Trump should be doing. And he's choosing not to do it. So, it is right at 8 o'clock. The debate is nationally televised on Fox. I will be watching it on Rumble. Whether I have to watch it on my phone or if I can cast it from my phone to my TV. I can watch it on Fox. I just don't care to give them the business. So until then, this is as much as I could fit in before the actual debate. And I will either pick up where I leave off tonight or I will have a different podcast altogether to give my thoughts and feelings on the debate. So thanks everybody for listening, supporting me, and playing along on The Forgotten Conservative.